I'd like to invite up Angus Jameson.
I'd like to say right at the start how grateful we are, really, for those of you that have come out. And we know that in the current circumstances, the advice is not to be meeting in like this. But if we just take all the necessary precautions, then that's great. And this is really honouring to Roddy that so many have come today. So we're very, very grateful. It's no exaggeration to say that Roddy Cameron was an inspiration to me. Alison and I first got to know Roddy and Christine when we moved to Inverness 20 years ago. We befriended Roddy and Christine when they attended our church, and we would help with their wheelchair access. Roddy was brought up in a farm near Croy. He was a true Highlander, and as far as I know, never left the region. He worked in the Inland Revenue, but despite that, was a very nice man. While he was there, he developed multiple sclerosis, but not letting it get him down. He was a founder member of the Inverness Friends. Just give me a minute, sorry. Roddy was a founder member of the Inverness Friends of ARMS. And in 1992, even raised money for the group by pushing himself in a wheelchair all round Loch Ness with a group of other sponsored fundraisers. And the centre in Inverness became the Inverness MS Therapy Centre, now known as the Oxygen Works. And his good friend and supporter, Professor Philip James, was a pioneer of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And Roddy was the first MS patient to have a chamber installed at his home. I should say that Philip James and his wife were planning to be up here and then were advised not to come. So it's a pity that they couldn't be here. We were told that when Roddy was once defending the benefits of oxygen treatment and a doctor told him that oxygen was toxic, Roddy suggested that in that case maybe we should all breathe a little less. Roddy was married with three children from that first marriage, Roddy, Philip, and Nick. Delighted to say that Philip is with us this morning. Roddy Jr. phoned earlier this week to say that a member of his family had been ill, and unfortunately they were all in isolation meantime. While attending treatment at the centre, he met Christine Lim from Edinburgh and fell hopelessly in love. And if you see the picture on the back, you'll understand why. They were married in 1996, and the picture on your order of service was taken on their wedding day at the Inverness Islands. Roddy and Christine have two different forms of multiple sclerosis, and unfortunately Roddy's was a much more aggressive form of the illness. But his spirit and his uncomplaining attitude have been absolutely exemplary. Roddy and Christine attended Castle Street Baptist Church, where both of them became Christians. And that's been a very important part of their lives as their faith in the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in the River Ness, very publicly declaring their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They set up a home in Castle Heather, and he had his hyperbaric chamber reinstalled at his home in Castle Heather. For me personally, that chamber was the bane of my life. Trying to replace the seals and test the pressure were among the most joyful moments in my engineering career. They referred to it as a dive, and so did I. I have very happy memories, though, of wheeling Roddy all the way from Castle Heather to CCC on a Sunday morning, and we basically laughed all the way to church. I'm sure Rod Mackay can similarly testify to Roddy's positive attitude despite his illness. It was probably not an appropriate preparation for a church service, but in some ways, maybe it was. Eventually, things got too difficult for Roddy, especially, and he moved into King's Mills Nursing Home, followed shortly thereafter by Christine. I have to say that the staff of King's Mills are a credit to their profession. The way they've looked after Roddy and Christine and kept us as their supporters informed and so on, I just can't thank you enough, really. I'd like to say a huge thanks then on behalf of both Roddy and Christine for all the support and kindness well above and beyond the call of duty. Feeding him every day, arranging for him to enjoy his appalling taste in music, which I didn't agree with at all. Finally, I'd like to say that when I did go round to see Roddy and tried to cheer him up, it was often him that cheered me up. And he used to say, "I'll get my new legs in heaven." Well, he's got them now, and he's a credit to all of us. Thank you. I'm going to ask Rod Mackay, another personal friend of Roddy's, to just come up and say a few other words, and hopefully he'll be stronger than I am.
I might not be. I'm very pleased to be doing this for a friend. Here I go too. For a very close friend. Liz and I met Roddy and Christine in the days when this church met in a porta cabin. We got speaking to them one evening. You could only come to the evening service. So we got speaking to them and said, "How are you getting home?" "Oh, we'll phone a taxi." So they said, "Oh, we'll give you a lift home." So that was the start of a long relationship. We had one or two adventures together. We'd go round and pick them up on a Sunday evening. Liz would take Christine in the car, and if it was dry at all, I would walk Roddy round from Castle Heather. So we'd come round by the roundabout on the way here and then go round the other way on the way home, down past the academy and the bowling alley. In winter time, there was always one spot we passed and someone was burning peat in their fire, so we would just stop for a few moments just to savour it. One evening we went round to pick them up to take them for church, and Roddy wasn't at all well. This was summer. He was just coming out with gibberish. We didn't know what it was. It turned out to be a urinary infection. So now we know some of the signs of a urinary infection. So I said, "Oh, I'll take Roddy a walk." So we took him a walk down deepest, darkest Hilton. And as we were going round, he was talking about his Auntie Jess, how much he loved his Auntie Jess. So that brought Auntie Jess into focus. So the next morning, Christine phoned the doctor, and it was a urinary infection. And then once he got back on his feet, he said he would like to go and visit Auntie Jess's grave. It was down in Rothy Marcus. He says, "Oh, how are we going to find it, Rod?" "Oh, you just turned in past a white cottage." "I know where it is." "Okay." So on Saturday, we piled them into the car, Roddy's wheelchair into the boot, and off he went down to Rothy Marcus. And if you're ever down Rothy Marcus, you'll be surprised at the number of white cottages there are. But we eventually found it, found the cemetery, and Roddy got one of his wishes. He was able to visit the grave of his Aunt Jess. Listen, I called in to see Christine on Wednesday afternoon. We called in early afternoon. She wasn't there. She was upstairs with friends. I says, "Well, that's a good sign." So we called, did a few things, and called in on our way home. And Christine was so pleased that Roddy is now in heaven. He was finished with his earthly body, such as it was, and Roddy is now in heaven. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And Roddy believed that. And Christine believed that. And that is Christine's hope, that Roddy is now in heaven. Zangus was saying, it was always a pleasure to visit Roddy. Coming away from the home, I always felt a little bit taller, so shoulders were a little bit straighter, worries were a little bit less concerning after having spent time with Roddy. When he was talking, I would ask him, "How are you today, Rod?" And the usual reply was, "Refreshingly average." And so when Roddy stopped talking, I would come in and ask him, "How are you, Rod? Refreshingly average?" And I would get a little grin. He gave us a few frights, though. I got a message to say that Roddy wasn't well. He'd been taken into Rigmore. They couldn't do much for him there, so they would return him to Kingsmill's nursing home, and they would nurse him there as best he could. Now, I was in the habit of going in to see Roddy on Tuesday afternoons. We'd spend some time together. I would tell him about current affairs, what was going on out in the big world. We'd talk about chainsaws. Before Roddy was a tax collector or worked in the tax office, I believe he cut down trees. And Husqvarnas were his favourites. So I went in this Tuesday afternoon not knowing what to expect. And there was a big carer, just as Angus was saying, the quality of care in the home. There was a big carer mixing yogurt and ice cream and spoon feeding Roddy. He says, "I'm not sure if he's going to take this," but he took it. And the carer saw that he enjoyed it so much, he went away and got another ice cream and yogurt. So he had two lots. Angus was talking there about his hyperbaric chamber. I remember it too. Oh, trying to get a seal sometimes, and they would go out in the winter time and it was frozen. But anyway, they got through it. And just in Kingswell's nursing home, just in God's providence, Christine had a room on one side of the corridor and Roddy had a room on the opposite side. They couldn't have worked it out better. Roddy had a profound effect on me, just as he did on Angus. And I'm grateful that I can call him my friend, one of my close friends. And I would ask you, those of you who pray, that remember Christine and the other residents in the care home, the carers who look after them, as we approach a very difficult time. And for those of you who don't pray, just still remember Christine and those in the care home, that God would watch over them. Thank you.
Thank you for the eulogies, and I think what we heard today is the tears of friendship, you know, the love, and as pastor here for 5 years, visiting Christine and Roddy, it was actually his friends that really humbled me, feeding him, visiting him, and you know who you are. I don't need to give any names, but love is demonstrated in action, isn't it? Much more than words. And the people that have been speaking at the front are the ones that have demonstrated true friendship, and we thank God for that. Alongside the other thanksgiving that we want to give today. So let us pray. Father God, you are full of love, compassion. You are the one who not only laid down your life for your friends, but you laid down your life for your enemies. You are the one who shows us what love really is. You are the one who gives us hope. We thank you that we can understand what love is through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief, who for the joy that was set before him went into the darkness of suffering and death so that we might have life and hope and rise above despair. Thank you for the certain hope of resurrection because of Jesus. Thank you for your presence, especially with Christine right now in this service, as we have prayed that she would know you holding her hand through this day. Thank you that ever since Roddy passed away, she has known your presence every day through faith and through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Roddy's life. Thank you for his encouragement to all who suffer, especially those who suffer with MS. Thank you for his generosity and support for Oxygen Works. And we thank you for Roddy's example to us, his uncomplaining and positive attitude. We thank you that he had a true faith in God. We thank you that he is with you now, free from suffering. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read one or two scriptures. First of all, a couple of sentences from Romans chapter 8. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that, Christine? That nothing is able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Another sentence from the Apostle Paul is from his letter to the Philippians. This is from chapter 3 and verse 20. And this is something that Roddy really did hold on to. For our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like the glorious risen body of Jesus. And the final scripture is familiar. We've sung it, and I want to read it once more. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is not simply a reading. This is a song, and it flowed out of his heart because he had a living hope. The songwriter had a living hope. We often think of this psalm as a pastoral scene with sheep and lush grass and But as you look at this psalm closely, it's about a difficult life. And in the midst of a difficult life, there is this song that pours out of the person's heart, a song of assurance, of stability when everything else is unstable. And the particular sentence I'd like to speak to you briefly about is this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and you comfort me. There's three things there. First of all, even though. Second thing, I will not fear, for you are with me. So even though, I will not fear, for you are with me. It is a very strange week, isn't it? I'm sure that it was a strange week last week when you tried to purchase things from the supermarket and you had empty shelves because people were panic buying. There's so much fear in our nation. There's so much fear right across the world. And I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks now. And because it's a coronavirus which kills, ultimately, it's the fear of death that is producing this level of panic. That the root of all fears in life is the fear of death. Everything we're scared of, at its root, is a fear of death. If you deal with this root, you deal with all the other fears. And Roddy, many times we thought he was going to die. And then he pulled through again and again and again. But each time he was on the brink of death, we knew that to die was gain. Because for him to live was to live in friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to die was even better, because he would go out of a body of suffering into the presence of the Lord, perfect love, perfect joy, eternal life. As we remember Roddy's whole life, and that's very important. That's why, you know, to agree together today that when Roddy was lying in that bed in the King's Mills nursing home, and he could not see and he could not speak, that was not the totality of Roddy. And you know better than I do, because I've only been here for 5-6 years, what Roddy was like before, and we can see it here on this order of service. And we give thanks to God for the totality of his life, not the journey towards mortality, which was his body, which was wasting away. The hope that he had, and you know, he used to listen to the Bible. He had the Bible playing. I think it was either Queen or it was the Bible. It was, I know which one was better. But he listened, the two things that he loved to listen to was the Bible. And I would visit him and he'd be in the middle of the most obscure part of the Bible. But that really humbled me. He's listening to the whole Bible, not just the Psalm 23. He believes in the whole Bible. He wants to hear the whole Bible because his faith was built on the Word of God and God's promises. God's promise that he would have a new body and an eternal life. His faith was built on the Word of God, that his sins were completely forgiven. It's an amazing thing. Through the death of Jesus Christ. His faith was built on the Word of God, on the work of Jesus, who died on the cross to forgive all his sins and be raised on the third day to secure and guarantee his resurrection. So even though his body was wasting away, on the inside, he was being filled with anticipation and excitement and a renewal of the person that was Roddy was renewed on the inside, getting ready for his eternal home. And even though he could not communicate with us, he could communicate with God, and God could communicate with him and could speak deep into his spirit as he waited for the transition from his earthly life to his heavenly life. So what does that mean for us today? What are we afraid of today? What is your even though situation in your life? Can you say today, even though this is happening, I will not fear? Wouldn't you just love to be able to say, even though this is happening, I will not fear? Even if I die, I will not fear. What is the answer? How can we have this peace? It's believing on Jesus, believing what he did for us on the cross, believing what his Father did by raising him from the dead, which did happen 2,000 years ago. And because it happened, everything else he said was true. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do not be afraid. No matter what happens, do not be afraid, for the Lord can be your shepherd too. I'll leave you with one last line from Psalm 23. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Where is Roddy now? He's dwelling in the house of the Lord. Amazing and true. So now we get ready to say goodbye. We get ready to say goodbye and to let go. This is why we're gathering. It's an important part of our purpose here today. So let us pray once again. God, our Creator and Redeemer, by your power, you conquered death and you entered into glory, confident of your son's victory and claiming his promises, we entrust Roddy to your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died and is alive and reigns with you now and forever, we have entrusted Roddy to God's mercy. And now we commit his body to be cremated, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our frail bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body, who died, was buried, and rose again for us. To him be glory forever. We may be certain of this, that neither death nor life, no angel, no ruler, nothing that exists, nothing still to come, nor any power or height or depth, nor anything else created can ever separate us from the love of God, which we have seen in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.